Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in the wake of the September 11th attacks, a federal judge loosened oversight of the NYPD, accepting the department's claim that they needed more freedom to investigate Muslims without as much cause and without as much court oversight as before in order to prevent terrorist attacks in the city. A class action suit followed, and from that came an agreement to restore some of the oversight. Well, yesterday, that same judge who loosened the rules in the first place rejected the new agreement. Judge Charles Haight said the agreement restores too little oversight of the NYPD and gives too much power to the mayor. Let's get details. Joining me now to discuss this story is the features editor at the website Gothamist, Raphael Pope Sussman. Raphael, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So as I mentioned, Manhattan Federal District Court Judge Charles Haight relaxed what are known as the handshoe guidelines for the NYPD. Remind us, what are the handshoe guidelines and how were they relaxed in the wake of 9/11?
So this goes back a long ways. It goes back to 1971. And there was this class action brought over surveillance of political activists and the use of undercover and other surveillance techniques to monitor political activities of, you know, organizations and individuals in the city. And so handshoe was a lead plaintiff. That suit dragged on for a long time, and finally in 1985 there was a settlement establishing these guidelines that would basically prevent surveillance unless there was a specific knowledge of a crime or a reasonable expectation of one. And it set up this thing called a handshoe authority, which would authorize these investigations, and it had one civilian on it. Now, after 9/11, the police department wanted more leeway to conduct these kinds of investigations, and they asked the court, and it was actually Judge Haight who was overseeing this case. It was the same case, this handshoe consent decree, asked him if he could loosen these restrictions so that they could conduct investigations to root out potential terrorist threats or what they presented that way. And he did loosen those restrictions. Later that year, in 2003, he tightened them a bit because of information that came out about how the NYPD had treated protesters against the Iraq War. But for the most part, the guidelines were looser, and the main thing that is important about the 2003 loosening is that this handshoe authority, which was a three-member authority with a civilian on it, was abolished. And as some of your listeners may know, the NYPD was conducting over the period beginning after 9/11 surveillance of the Muslim community in New York. They had informants and undercover agents at mosques, at stores in neighborhoods with large Muslim populations, student groups. And so a lot of this came out in 2011 with a series of investigations from the Associated Press that this was going on. And there was a huge outcry that this was an invasion of or an infringement upon the constitutional rights of this population. So in 2013, a group of Muslims and Muslim organizations with the suit name is Raza, that was one of the individuals, filed a suit with some civil liberties organizations like the ACLU in response to this discovery. So there's actually two suits. There's the Honshu suit, which has been going on since 1971, and there's this Raza suit. They're very similar. They are not identical, but this discussion here about the settlement would have resolved both of the cases. Basically, right. The judge overseeing the other case said, if you sign off on this, then this will this will be enough to
satisfy the Hanshu guidelines as well. So
exactly.
Let me read a list of the elements of the settlement, and then you can tell me why the judge rejected it. As described by the New York Times, the settlement would have the mayor appoint an independent civilian to monitor the NYPD's counterterrorism activities. The NYPD agreed to use undercover officers only when other options are impractical, and to consider the impact that its investigations have on religious groups and others who are not suspected of any wrongdoing. The NYPD agreed to cap the length of investigations in most cases, a limitation modeled after the rules governing inquiries by the FBI. Previously, the police had kept terrorism investigations open and conducted surveillance for years, collecting information kind of permanently but never bringing charges. So those were the bases of the agreement. What aspect of that settlement did Judge Haight consider insufficient?
So what's important to keep in mind is that the settlement came out in January. That was when it was first proposed. In August, the Office of the Inspector General, which is agency that oversees the NYPD or can look into NYPD activities, released a report. They had looked at how the department was conducting these sorts of investigations, and they discovered that the police department was often flouting the Hanshu rules. In more than half of cases, they were letting investigations that had been authorized lapse, letting the authorization lapse, but continuing to conduct the authorization. They were providing minimal information about why they were using undercover officers or confidential informants, which was sort of a key requirement because it is a major step to send somebody into a mosque or a storefront without a reasonable suspicion that there's any criminal activity going on, to just spy on whatever's going on. So they released this report, and it basically said that the rules weren't being followed. And so the judge cited that in his ruling, and he said that basically the NYPD had, I think he used the word, systemic inclination to disregard the guidelines. The core question was the role of the civilian monitor. So the civilian monitor would be somebody who had never been affiliated with the NYPD, an attorney. And the proposal, as you said, would be to have the mayor appoint this person, and then for the monitor to report to the mayor and the police commissioner or the court. And that was the sticking point. The judge basically felt and said that this was not going to go far enough in ensuring that the police department followed the guidelines.
The idea was that since the NYPD is under the mayor, if the so-called independent monitor reported to the mayor rather than the court, how independent is that person, right?
Exactly. So he ordered that the mayor would appoint the monitor, but that the monitor would report quarterly to the court, make these confidential reports. They would be available to the Corporation Council, which is the, you know, the city's attorney, and also to class counsel. So that would be the counsel in this Hanshu case. And then the monitor could also report from time to time if he or she observed something that seemed off.
Let me ask you this. If the settlement was good enough for the group of Muslim Americans and civil libertarian organizations that brought the class action suits, why was that not good enough for the judge? Or I could ask the question the other way. If the judge was likely to find this insufficient, why was this settlement good enough for the Muslim American advocates?
I think that it was a matter of what seemed like the city was willing to agree to at the time of the settlement. The city did not want a court-appointed monitor, which is what had been originally advocated for with these suits, and I think that they preferred to have the monitor be as uninvasive as or non-invasive as possible. So this is what they agreed to, and I think the organizations involved felt that it was a better deal, and so they agreed to it. And there were certainly Muslim groups and I think some other civil libertarians who were particularly concerned about this question of the monitor and really wanted the monitor to be entirely court appointed. So obviously that didn't work out, and I think the judge here sort of hewed to a middle ground. He said that he trusted the mayor or future mayors to pick a monitor who is going to carry out their job honestly and fairly, but that he didn't necessarily trust the mayor to, that he wanted there to be more oversight.
Because it's not about an individual mayor, say Bill de Blasio. It's about any future mayor, and you don't know the tendencies of an individual. So that's why, for example, the Times editorial board came out very strongly in support of the judge's action voiding the settlement. The Times said, requiring the civilian monitor to provide the court with detailed quarterly reports, good idea from the judge, and restricting the mayor's power to do away with the monitor without the court's permission, which the judge also suggested. So in our last 30 seconds, Raphael, what's next in this story? Do both sides in the class action suit have to agree to the judge's recommendations, or what happens next?
So yeah, so they're going to have to come together and discuss, and they have to put together another settlement. If they put together something that is satisfactory to the court, and based on what Judge Haight wrote, it seems like if they put in these new recommendations that he will look favorably upon the settlement. He said that he was in favor of a number of the other elements of the case. And then they would bring it back to him, and of the settlement, they would bring it back to him. And then if he signs off on it, it would get rid of the Raza case and
the Hampshire case as
case
well.
Would stop.
Raphael Pope Sussman, features editor at the Gothamist website. Sorry to say we don't have time for the butt. Butts, but we don't have time for this one. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.